Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You win some, you lose some.
Second and long. Takes it to the end zone. Williams put it up top for Moore. Goes up. It's intercepted. Underneath, it was Stingley with the interception. Derek Stingley.
Now, back to Hamp and OB. Here's Andy Mazur.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur. Without the fellas so far, we've got game action still going on as the Bears taking on the Houston Texans. The Bears looking for a field goal here late in this fourth quarter, trailing now 19-10, and make that now 19-13. And there is about 2:51 left to go in the fourth quarter in Houston. This has been a really ugly game in the second half for sure. Each team has only scored the field goal here in the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams did have his first career touchdown, and it's also of his first two career interceptions. But I gotta be honest, and I'm sure the guys will have more of a thought on this when we get them in here. This offensive line is bad. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. This is a really bad offensive line. And I recall toward the end of cutdown day and when the rosters were finalized, GM Ryan Poole saying this is the deepest he's been at this position ever. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I think you need to dig a little deeper because, you know, Ryan Bates goes on the injured reserve. He'll be out at least 4 weeks. And Nate Davis has been a human turnstile here today. And it's just been bad. It's been really, really bad. 19-13, Texans had the lead. Again, 2:51 left to go, so the guys will be in here as soon as the game comes to a complete end, and we'll recap everything for you. We'll take your phone calls and all that fun stuff at 312-981-7200. First, let's get through the rest of the scoreboard from the NFL today. We mentioned during the pregame show, this was not your typical Sunday in the National Football League. A lot of the favorites and a lot of home teams, surprisingly, went down to defeat today, and we'll start in Dallas, where the Saints had their way with the Cowboys. 44-19 was the final there. The $240 million man, Dak Prescott, 293 yards through the air, a touchdown, but he was picked a couple of times. Alvin Kamara with 115 yards and three touchdowns on the ground for the Saints, who are now 2-0. The Cowboys fall to 1-1. Buccaneers go into Detroit and beat the Lions at Ford Field. Final there was 20-16 earlier today, despite 307 yards passing from Jared Goff. Also, Amon-Ra St. Brown got hurt late in that game, but he did catch 11 balls for 119 yards. So the Lions fall to 1-1, while the Buccaneers remain perfect at 2-0. Take the Packers and the Colts at Lambeau Field, and it was the Packers surviving that game by a final score of 16-10. Anthony Richardson had some chances late, but he threw for three interceptions, 204 yards in that game. So the Packers now 1-1, and the Colts, who are the next Bears opponent, fall to 0-2. Jets go into Tennessee and beat the Titans. Not that that should be a real surprise for those that watched the Bears play the Titans last week. Jets win at 24-17, so Aaron Rodgers gets a victory with the Jets, who are now 1-1. The Titans are 0-2. One of the bigger surprises, I think, today was the fact that the Vikings held on at home to beat the 49ers 23-17. Christian McCaffrey not playing again. There's talk that he may miss the next three or four games. He's got Achilles tendonitis, and they're not exactly sure when he's going to get onto the field. Brock Purdy, 319 yards through the air, one touchdown and one interception, 23-17. The Vikings remain perfect at 2-0, while the Niners fall to 1-1. Overtime, Seattle goes into New England and beats the Patriots 23-20. Geno Smith, 327 yards through the air. DK Metcalf with 10 receptions and 129 yards and also one touchdown in that one. This was a kind of a war of attrition in our nation's capital as the Washington Commanders kick not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven field goals, and they beat the New York Giants 21-18. Head coach Brian Daboll, not a happy camper at the very end of that game, chucking his headphone, and he walks away with a 0-2 record. The Commanders now 1-1. Jaden Daniels with his first career victory as well. Chargers all over the Panthers. Panthers, they're in a miserable way, and the Bears fans are thanking them every minute they get. Chargers win it 26-3. Chargers 2-0 under Jim Harbaugh. The Panthers now fall to 0-2. Browns get an ugly win in Jacksonville, 18-13 over the Jaguars. The Raiders somehow get over the they beat the Ravens in Baltimore, 26-23. Gardner Minshew with 276 yards through the air, a touchdown, and an interception. Maybe the biggest surprise, I keep saying this, but maybe the biggest surprise today was the Cardinals. Cardinals at home just shellacked the Rams. 41-10 was the final in that one. Kyler Murray, 266 yards passing and three touchdowns. John Connor with 21 carries and 122 yards. Marvin Harrison Jr. had a breakout game as well. Four catches, 130 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Steelers behind, yep, you know, Justin Fields. Now 2-0 after a 13-6 win at Denver today. Bo Nix, though, did throw for 246 yards, but was picked a couple of times. And the Chiefs, on a Harrison Butker field goal at the buzzer, beat the Bengals 26-25. So the Chiefs 2-0, the Bengals 0-2. And the Monday Night Football game will have the Eagles hosting the Falcons. Again, that is tomorrow night. Right now, the game under the two-minute warning right now in Houston, where the Texans have the football, and they are embarrassed. They're in their own territory at this point. 19-13 is the score right now as Houston has the lead. Looking at a couple of quick stats for you as well in this game today. Mentioned Caleb Williams, 22 of 34, 147 yards passing, but two interceptions, a passer rating of 49.5. The rushing has been a big issue, and I think some of it has to do with the offensive line. Some of it has to do with this completely unimaginative play calling that it's going on from Shane Waldron. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 18 yards so far. Caleb Williams, the leading rusher, four carries and 43 yards. Khalil Herbert only has two touches, and Travis Homer, one carry for 6 yards. The receiving situation, DJ Moore's been targeted 10 times. He has six catches for 53 yards and a long of 19. Also, DeAndre Swift with four catches. Cole Kmet has four catches as well. Each have been targeted 5 times. DeAndre Carter with three catches for 32. Gerald Everett, Khalil Herbert, and Roma Dunze really not factoring in at all at this point. And that's kind of disappointing to see as well. Minute 37 left to go in the football game. They have changed possessions. The Bears will have the football, and they are down 19-13. So I think you know what happens. They need a touchdown to win this ball game. And we'll see what Caleb Williams has, if he can engineer some kind of a miracle drive here to get the Bears into the win column for the second straight day, and a second straight game, that is, and probably another game that, if they're fortunate enough to win, probably don't deserve to win. I mean, you can probably say that about the last game that they played against the Titans, where the offense didn't score, and it was all up to the special teams and the defense. But we'll see what they have up their sleeves here. Again, this is Hampton OB. It is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. The guys are watching the final minute and a half of this one, and then they'll come in here and we'll roll till midnight today, and we'll take your calls as well once this game is over. And hopefully we'll get some good news for you, as the Bears are now starting to drive near midfield with less than a minute and a half to go in the football game. We'll take a quick timeout here, and we'll come back with a little more, and hopefully we'll get a final for you coming up here in just a few moments as well. Bears trailing 19-13 right now, late in the fourth quarter, 720 WGN.
Now, back to the Camp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Andy Mazur back with you here. The fellows will join shortly. 34 seconds remaining, and the Bears are down 19-13. They do have the football at their own 40. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We have some new sponsors, too, on the Hampton OB Show. We will again extend a big welcome to Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. And they asked the question in the postgame show, what do the Bears need to scrap this week? Well, not to be crass, but this offensive game plan just needs to go away. It needs to go into a circular file and shredded, because it's not doing a young quarterback any good right now. And that's it. I think that's definitely what needs to be scrapped. Let me see what's going on in the game here. Actually, the Bears have turned the ball over, Downs in, it's all but academic at this point. 19-13 is going to be the final score as the Houston Texans are going to kneel on the ball right now. And the Bears will suffer their first loss of the season. 19-13 is your final from Houston. And we'll get you through all the numbers and everything like that when the boys come back into the studio, which should be any moment at this particular point. How was the Bears coverage today? Well, that is sponsored by another one of our new sponsors. That's Thatcher Oak Commercial Awnings, covering Chicagoland business for 40 years. I thought the coverage was pretty good. I mean, there have been some. There were some big hits. There was some good, good defensive backfield play in this game here today for the Bears. I think that's the least of the Bears' worries at this point is the defensive backfield. These guys with Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon and Kevin Byard, I like the way that they've played. I mean, they have been aggressive. That's probably been the only real aggressive thing about this team. And I know that's a favorite word of OB's, aggression. And those guys are doing it. Those guys are taking care of business back there, and that's good to see. So the Bears lose 19-13. Let's get you some of the final numbers here real quick on Caleb Williams. He finishes the day 23 of 37 for 174 yards and a couple of interceptions, a passer rating of 51. C.J. Stroud, on the other hand, 23 of 36 for 260 yards and a one touchdown, a passer rating of 94.7. As far as the total yardage and all these other total net yards for the Bears, rather unimpressive again. 205 total net yards to 310 for the Houston Texans. And, yeah, that's not going to get it done. That is just not going to get it done. And I know OB is going to want to talk about third down efficiency. We'll tell you that right now. 6 of 17 for the Bears, 35%. 4 of 14 for 29% for the Texans. But what matters in the end is what the final numbers on the scoreboard say. And the final numbers on our scoreboard here today are going to say 19-13 in favor of the Houston Texans, dropping the Bears to 1-1. And again, they'll play the Colts coming up next here. And that will be next weekend, of course, next Sunday. And we'll outline that game for you coming up here in just a few moments. We'll let the guys get settled in here for a second before we bring them in and bring up their microphones. 19-13, the Texans over the Chicago Bears here this evening on Sunday Night Football. It's now 8 straight Sunday Night appearances for the Bears that they have lost. This one, you know, it was kind of anybody's game there toward the half. But I give credit to the Bears' defense in that second half. It really kind of held solid there, guys.
Well, folks, this is, you know, on one hand, it's maddening how ineffective the offense is, and there's a lot of reasons why, and we'll talk about those. But your point about the defense, they played their guts out, and you know that's folks that Texan team, it's a good team. We're going to see them in the AFC playoffs. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. All that being said, this was anybody's game, as you said, and it was a game that was there for the taking, and yet we continually refuse to do certain things that are such common sense, you know, type of execution on offense that evades us.
Danny, why don't you expound on, and I think I know exactly where you're going and what. My God, where was the play action?
Where was
the boot, folks? Where was the bootlegs? Where was the play action bootlegs? Where was the sprint out? You kept that kid in the pocket. Set of downs after set of downs, quarter after quarter. My God, what are you people thinking about? You had a game that you could have won tonight. You could have won this game and we'd be 2-0. It was a miracle we won the first game without even scoring a touchdown. And we were kind of in this game, Dan, but where's the imagination in our offense? Where's the different sets? The overload, the underload, going deep, over the middle, using Cole Kmet. My God, the sprint outs, the bootlegs. Folks, did you see it? No, you didn't. And this is a game, Danny. We could have won this game, Andy. We could have won this game with a little imagination instead of drop them back. They teed off after them.
And here's the thing, and they made a good, you know, they were, you know, the announcers brought up a number of good points. D'Amico Ryans, he blitzed more tonight than he has ever blitzed anybody. And you know why? Because he knew where the quarterback was going to be. They knew. It was almost like, we need to leave Shane Waldron in Houston. I'm telling you. We could be a lot better off trying Seattle. Something else. Well, no, leave him there in Houston. Oh. Don't bring him back. We don't want to see it again. And all of these things are so pragmatic. If we don't do this, guess what? Here they come. And if we don't stop that, this is what we're going to get. And that is why this offense is putrid. It's putrid. And your point about no play action, no bootlegs. Nothing. What about motion? Well, nothing. When was the last time you saw any motion? And here's the other.
From the slot back. Put the slot in motion. After play, strong side or weak side. Folks, what Dan is telling you, there's so many things they could have done offensively, and we came out set of downs after set of downs, quarter after quarter, and doing the same damn thing.
We were sitting
ducks. That's why we can't score points. We're lucky if we score touchdowns. That's the reason why. There's no imagination.
Motion is to create mismatch opportunities and to basically get a tell on what the defense will be before the ball is snapped. We don't do anything with motion. It's asinine. And you know what? Our head coach and his stupid two challenges, that don't make no sense either. I got to tell you, Andy, the more I think about how doable this was, and yet we refuse to even engage in any kind of, you know, creative offensive thinking.
Danny and Andy and Torres, folks, you've got to run an offense in today's game because of you can't touch a quarterback, you can't touch a receiver, whatever. You've got to run an offense for multiple formations. And especially like Dan, where's the motion? Why don't you put your slot man in motion? Strong side or weak side? Where's the different formations? Why aren't we attacking over the middle? Why aren't we attacking down the field? We do nothing, folks. And if somebody's if you think they're doing something, please give us a call and tell me just exactly what the hell it is. Because I'll tell you what. This offense, my God, we struggle to complete a pass. We struggle for passing yardage. We struggle for running yardage. The defense has been there. The defense has been playing winning football, I believe, Danny.
Absolutely.
They have been playing winning football. What's hurt us is our offense, our 11 guys and our offensive set of coaches and our offensive coordinator and our head coach. My God, Eberflus, if you can't see there's a problem going into the fourth quarter and you guys, again, don't change up your offense, what? It's right there for you. You can't see it?
Okay.
Kids are playing their hearts out.
And here's the dirty little secret. When you have inequities, and like an offensive line that has trouble blocking, and you have certain, you know, limitations here, that is where being creative and multiple formations in motion and put the defense on their heels. Instead, we're basically, you know, curling up in a ball saying, come get us. It's sickening.
I'm telling you what, folks, this is unbelievable. And if you think if anybody taped the game or replay it, look and see what we're talking about. And then go back to last week's game. I, for the life of me, cannot figure out in this year, this day and age, you should be playing coming from multiple sets, every set of down, instead of sitting there and playing like ducks, wounded little ducks. And they come after you.
60 minutes tonight, 60 minutes last week, one touchdown and 120 minutes of professional football.
That's what I'm talking about. They do nothing, Andy.
Yep.
They do nothing offensively. And you want to know what? In training camp, you know what they did? They did nothing. Offensively, nothing. They play like nothing.
Well, we've got 60 minutes for you here tonight as well, and we'll take your calls coming up after the news. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears fall 19-13 to the Houston Texans.
It's a game to the end. To the end zone, Herbert. Touchdown, Chicago Bears. So the four-year veteran, Herbert, runs it in around the edge. And the Bears take advantage of the good field position to get right back in this.
Courtesy of NBC Sports, Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the guys here. 19-13, the final as the Texans beat the Bears in Houston tonight. And, yeah, you know, you kind of search for positives, and there were very few in this game, unfortunately.
I could, if I just say this quickly, this loss tonight, you look at it, from play to play, quarter to quarter, okay? I'll put this right on Eberflus and his 26, a total of him and 25 assistants. There's 26 coaches. This falls right on their head, okay? This is a game we could have won. We could have been 2-0. We got away with it last week. It was a miracle that we won that game without scoring a touchdown, but we had a chance to win it. But I will put this, Danny, and I don't know how you feel. I'm not putting it on the players. I'm not anything. The way the wind was blowing, I'm telling you, this falls right on Eberflus, you, and your coaching staff. You're the ones that produced defeat tonight.
You know, Collinsworth made a real good point there late in the game. He said, you know, really, the difference, I mean, two teams fighting it out, but the difference was C.J. Stroud was able to make a handful of plays outside of the pocket, and that turned out to be a number of big plays that put them in a position where they were able to score a couple of touchdowns.
Perfect now, point.
Okay. I want to know, I got a lot of questions. Oh, why are we throwing the ball to Gerald Everett? We threw it to him three times. We got one total yard out of the three throws. Where's Khalil Herbert? They put him in for one play. He makes a great run in for a touchdown. Why isn't he in there instead of Swift? Swift is a little guy. He didn't have the power to run inside. We kept trying it. Where are the bootlegs, the play action, the motion? Have you seen one bit of creative football on offense?
Bingo.
119 plays, both games, almost 120 plays. I haven't seen one play where I turn to you and say, hey, that was nifty. You watch Kansas City, there'll be six or eight of them every game. Well, you say, wow, that was good. That was really smart. That was clever. We got nothing.
We did the same thing, set of downs after set of downs, quarter after quarter, first half, second half, folks. If you saw the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where's the creativity? My God, I think we have a quarterback that is talented. Play to his talents. Anybody can drop back and be a passer. Anybody can. But when you get the ingenuity of an offensive coordinator who can move the pocket to the stronger, to the weak side in various different formations by sprint outs, bootlegs, naked bootlegs, moving the pocket to the strong, moving the pocket to the weak side, hitting the tight end over the middle, going down, post patterns. There's so many things, folks, that can be done. And if you watch the game tonight, what I'm just telling you, we never did. And last week, same story. No creativity, none whatsoever. We don't use Caleb, his strength, his versatility. We don't take advantage of it. His ability to move, his ability to throw on a run. We don't take advantage of it. I hope I'm making sense to some of you people, because that's exactly what the hell you saw tonight. That's exactly what you saw tonight. No creativity, period. And it was the same damn thing last week. There's only 17 of these games. 15 more to go. 15 more to go. And after two of them, where are we? We're not looking good.
Let's get one call in here before we have to hit our next break. Let's go out to Ron in Mount Prospect. Ron, you're on with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was just wondering why the run game? Why don't they run the ball a little? I mean, who is this Swift guy? He's terrible. He's like a flex player. I mean, he stinks. Why don't they put Herbert in or what's his name?
Rashawn Johnson. Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's what we're saying.
What? I mean, let's run the ball a little.
Ronnie, see, here's the deal. In a perfect world, we would all out, you know, try to put our best foot forward and get a run game going, and then let this kid operate out of play action bootleg, all the different things that would protect him.
Move the pocket.
And not expose him to the fact that we've got the worst offensive line in football. Instead, we essentially are expecting them to hold up while he's trying to throw the ball 43 times. And they can't do it. I know it. You know it. And D'Amico Ryans knew it, too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Come back with more of your phone calls. 312-981-7200. 1913 Texans over the Bears today. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Goal for the Texans. It's Akers. Inside, that ball come out. That ball come out. I think it did. Let's see if the Bears are on it. A lot going on. Bottom of the pile.
Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports. Andrew Billings there with a forced fumble. And another stat I want to bring up to you guys, and we'll tie one of our new sponsors here as well. Our sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plans by TJ Stearns, asking how well did the Bears protect the pocket? You can always protect in your pocket. TJ Stearns, call them at 800-640-2256. We mentioned that he dropped back Caleb Williams 37 times today. On those 37 dropbacks, he was pressured 36 times.
Okay, I have a quick answer for you. Jailbreak.
I think no they protection need to get the 1-800 Stearns number and make a call.
Yeah.
Because they need more protection.
There was no protection of any pockets going on there.
Come on, Stearns. Come up with something.
Yeah. Try find a blocking combination for us or something.
That would be very helpful. 312-981-7200. Bears fall 19-13 to the Texans. Back to the phones. We go into Splains. We start out of Mitchell. You're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Yeah, first of all, the Bears offense is inept. Dan, OB, let's point out the obvious. How many times did Caleb Williams throw downfield? None. Zero. Okay, Dan, 1980, okay, you beat the Lions out of the playoffs, 60, or was it the Packers, 61-7, right? Right? And then Sevens was the quarterback. So don't hand me this horse crap about, you know, making excuses. You got the number one pick who's inept, and you've had 4 years to figure this out, and you have no answers. Okay, your defense is a loser because they can't bail out the offense, right? Then you want to sit there and pontificate how great this guy was, all the hype for nothing? This is exactly why we're sitting at the pack that you may win 4 wins in this game in the entire year, because we have no quarterback. We had no quarterback in 17. We had no quarterback in 2021 with Justin Fields, a big loser, right? And now you got this overhyped USC wannabe that can't throw downfield. So explain it to me, Dan. Obi, explain to me, who's the quarterback for the Bears? You don't have a Judah Brand to be your savior.
All right,
you
let them answer the question. Thank you, Mitchell. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Well, pretty much everything you're saying has, you know, a lot of truth to it. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. You know, very excited, but why not? What the heck?
Hey, it was pathetic. There were things on the field that we could have and should have taken advantage of, and yet we refused. You know, we did a preview show 2 weeks ago, and I said, I'm excited about this Shane Waldron. In the preseason, whoever was playing, Tyson Bagent, everybody, you know, they were throwing the ball down the field. We looked like we knew what we were doing, and we had confidence, and we had a little swagger. I don't see any of that. And it's essentially boils down to we've been outcoached. Folks,
yes,
we've been outcoached. And that's what I keep saying. Take back the North. Well, we better get a better coach, because everybody else in the division's got their coaches have got a lot better answers than what we get out of Hallis Hall. But here's one thing. The back shoulder throws, they were there. And that's why DJ Moore was so despondent and sick in his stomach. Late in the game, Caleb made bad throws and wasn't able to capitalize on certain situations that were there for the taking. And why wasn't he able to do it? I'll tell you why, OB.
There was a little pressure put on him, Danny.
Well, yeah, with 36 out of 37 dropbacks, he was pressured. But he was never given a chance to get into a rhythm. No other, you know, and I mean, I'll beat the drum all day because I played against smart offenses. They would always get their quarterback into a rhythm, play action, then the boots and this and that, whatever. But not enough preparation. And saying you're going to throw the back shoulder in practice when nobody's rushing the passer, nobody's in front of him, hanging on him, coming around the back corner, swiping at the ball. That's up to the head coach to get him ready in game type situations. And if it's not in practice, then you damn well better play him some in the preseason where he hits the ground running. This kid, he ain't even trotting right now.
There's no creativity, you know, and I almost don't know where to go with it, folks. You know, like from last week to this week, you look at our offense. We can hardly score points. We struggle to convert on third downs. We struggle to put points on the board. We struggle. Our quarterback is struggling, running for his life half the time. Our offensive line, they're not playing up to what should be a quality NFL line. You can see that's like a jailbreak almost every when the defense comes flying at us, our offensive line, I don't know what these guys are doing. And this has been play after play, quarter after quarter for 2 years now. Okay, excuse me, two games. Shane Waldron, our offensive coordinator, and I really don't know where to move from this, Dan, outside of our offense. Why? Why wasn't that pocket moved? We've got a quarterback that's versatile. He's got ability. Why do you keep drop him back? Move him to the strong. There's so many different formations, folks, that you can run from and do in a game. And you know what we did? Nothing this game. No creativity. Go back to last week. Was there any creativity, any ovation? No, there was nothing. And you know what we did in practice? Nothing. And you know what we did with our first stringers? We didn't play them. And this is what you get. And that's why you saw what you saw today. Excuse me, tonight. No creativity. And we struggled like hell every down, every set of downs, every quarter for two games. When you can't score touchdowns, you're not going to win in this league. So far, we can't score touchdowns.
I got to tell you, I went back and looked at some of the games that Shane Waldron had, you know, was calling plays and operating, especially when he was with the Rams and then with Seattle. It didn't look like this. Mm. I don't know what is going on, and it's almost like Ryan Poles or Eberflus, keep him in the pocket. We don't want him scrambling around and making play, blah, blah, blah. We don't want him to
do
that
either. That's his game, Dan. That's his game.
But put him in a designed offensive play in a bootleg where he's able to run, where he's not going to get his head chopped off.
Yes, sir.
So the point being is, for whatever reason, they're not seeing the forest for the trees. And by God, we're getting cut up.
And Eberflus, great challenges tonight, huh? Couple of really tremendous challenges.
Like, yeah. I said, I mean,
one that was right in front of him too.
I mean, it, when your coach does foolish things, makes a fool out of himself, I mean, it doesn't take long for it kind of, you know, filter down.
Dan, you think the players don't know that? I'll guarantee you. They said he did what? He challenged what?
Right.
Yeah.
And okay, it didn't come down where we needed a timeout and all. Hey, it goes beyond that. Absolutely. And you said it, OB. He may be a decent coordinator, head coach. Ain't working out. Let's go.
All right, let's get out to Bartlett and say hi to Thomas. Thomas, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hamp, OB, it's a pleasure talking to both of you guys. Actually, you know, Danny, you just said almost everything I wanted to say, almost perfectly in line with what I wanted to say. The thing that blows my mind is the offensive play calling looks the same with different offensive coordinators every single year. So we get Shane Waldron in there, and you think things are going to be different, and everything is sideline to sideline, trying to keep somebody in the pocket.
Bingo.
And this kid doesn't have a chance. And it's just, I don't understand it because they're different offensive coordinators. Then my other concern was Matt Eberflus not having this team prepared, like OB has said. It was my biggest concern going into this season, was it was all about the nice house and all about the new look of Eberflus and all about everything.
Right.
But nothing about coaching, repetition, and preparation. It's ridiculous. And then I saw DJ Moore's facial expressions on the sidelines tonight, and I said, holy cow, this team has no confidence that they can win. And there's a reason they have no confidence that they can win. They have no faith in what's going on there. And the offensive line is abysmal. Both you guys have touched on all of these things, but it's so frustrating. And I wonder how much influence Eberflus and Poles have on these offensive coordinators, because every single game looks the same year after year. And now you've got a first-round draft choice quarterback, and you're doing the same damn thing with him that you did with Justin Fields.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Thomas. That's what, and you picked up on it. You picked up on it. I mean, there's so many things you can do on a field 53 yards wide and a field 100 yards long. And with two things at each one, end zones, they're 10 yards deep. There's only so many things you can do. And so what's the key? The key is understanding the rules. How can we attack offensively going down the field? Defensively, how do we counterattack? Okay? And you got to have a head coach smart enough to figure it out. So it filters down through his offensive and defensive coordinators and into his 26 coaches. We have a total of 26 coaches. And did you see that game tonight? Did you look at us offensively? Did you look at our offensive line? We got Cole Kmet, a quality in. What the hell is he even dressed up for the game for? They don't use him. They don't use him in pass patterns. I mean, when are we going to throw to our backs coming out of on a wheel route? When are we going to throw to our backs coming out of the backfield? When are we going to go downfield? When are we going to throw post patterns, crossing ends, delays, move the pocket, stronger weak side? My God, there's so many things that you can do. And damn it, I'll be damned. You watch this game if you want to play it again tonight. Just watch it. Series to series to series. How many offensive sets did we show? How creative and innovative were we? We were not. And we lost the football game. And it was a miracle, again, that we won last week. We won a football game in the year 24 without scoring an offensive touchdown. We're 1-1, and we're going into Indianapolis next week. They're 0-2. If we blow this game, this guy might get blown out of town. I'm talking about Eberflus.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to take a break here for the news and come back with more of your phone calls. We're here till midnight tonight. The Bears lose 19-13 to the Houston Texans. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Back to the Hampton OB show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Capital B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears lose 19-13 to the Texans. Time now for Who Brought It Today. Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Tremaine Edmonds, one of those guys on defense that brought it today. 11 tackles, a sack, and 3 assists on tackles as well.
And, you know, Andrew Billings, I mean, that was a huge play. Forcing, I mean, that back ran into him, and, I mean, the ball just came out. It's like it melted him. Hey, Tyrique Stevenson fought his guts out. Kevin Byard, I love this kid. You know, he replaced you-know-who.
Your buddy.
Yeah. And, you know, he shows up tonight with 11 tackles. The long and short of it is, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's like to kill a mockingbird. It's a shame to waste a defensive effort. Think about this, folks. We only gave up one field goal the last, 30 minutes of play. One field goal. We held them to 15 first downs. That's what we had, but they had 15 first downs, and we held them to 4 of 14 on third down situations. Guys, that's winning football. unfortunately, we've got this issue with the offense. Let's get back to the call.
You got a 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Mount Prospect and say hi to Brian. Brian, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hamp, OB, you guys are the best part of a Bears loss. I hate to say it.
Oh, man.
I've noticed that all good offenses, especially the Packers over the last 10, 20 years, they do hard counts on third down and five and less. They get free first downs when they can. They practice it. It's, you know, it's something that's a part of their offense. I've noticed under Eberflus that never, ever happens. It's not practiced. Or maybe the O-line is so bad that, you know, it's a risk. But, you know, we had the 4th-and-3 when we were down by 10, and we were on their side, our side of the field, which, honestly, I don't even know if we got the first down. Luckily, the refs gave it to us. But, you know, is our O-line that bad where we can't do a hard count, or is our coaching staff just that incompetent?
All of the above.
I was going to say, you covered it all.
All of the above, Brian.
Brian, you're exactly right. The reason we don't do it is, we get enough, you know, motion penalties just in a regular count. If we start going hard counts, you know, who knows how many we would have. But here's the thing.
What do you think? What time? When should they have been practicing that down?
On that fourth.
Training camp, I would assume.
But on that fourth down and short, where did they run? They ran behind the right guard, Nate Davis. He, by any stretch of imagination, he's the weak link of the offensive line, and yet you run a dive with your smallish back, DeAndre Swift, right? What are you doing? What? You know, like OB says, you should be arrested, you know, for calling a play like that. Don't you agree? I mean, you're essentially accentuating the weak parts of what you have to offer. It's like making a 300-pounder do a high jump. And again, we had high hopes after the 2 years of misery with Luke Getsy. And my gosh, after 2 weeks, guys, how many plays do you think we have run in two ball games in the red zone? How many plays?
None.
It's a handful. I mean, maybe three or four.
It was seven last week, and we ran three tonight. Thank goodness we scored on, you know, on third down with Khalil Herbert. Where's he been? So, I mean, it's almost like, you know, folks that are like, after they've been on a bender or something, a binge, and the next day everything's out of sorts and nothing makes sense. And that's what we got. Nothing that we do on offense makes sense. And that, see, and I've always said this, the really good coordinators, they have a plan, and the whole thing is set up one play at a time. And then by the second, third, fourth quarter, that is where you start getting the big chunks and you start ripping big runs and big pass plays. But everything we do. And
Dan, that has to be worked out in training camp.
Well, training camp, and you gain confidence and you have a plan. We haven't even seen the plan yet. I mean, we're not even trying to do that. It's sad. I'm telling you, it's sad. And let me tell you, I don't mean to steal your thunder. Folks, Indianapolis is going to be mad as hornets over there. They're 0-2, and guess what? Eberflus is coming back to Indy and all that. They're going to play this like it's, you know, a playoff game. So it ain't going to get any easier.
312-981-7200. Before we get to the calls real quick, time now for the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. There was a big miss by this officiating crew. This was not a great officiating crew tonight. A couple of weird interference penalties, but they missed a punch that was actually thrown on the sideline into the face of Roschon Johnson, who was not even in the play. The play carried into the Bears bench, and there was a punch thrown that should have been an ejection and a personal foul and a first down.
And folks, this is our game-changing moment. Think about it. It was in the fourth quarter. Al Shearer runs the back out of bounds, and then he gets up, and for no reason, he punches Roschon Johnson, who's just standing there. And when you punch or throw a punch in the NFL, It's disqualification. He should have been kicked out of the game, but no, they didn't. And we would have got a first down and we were moving. And who knows? We could have scored a touchdown and really made this thing tight. But no, they didn't throw him out of the game. They didn't throw the flag. And I got to tell you this. And you know what? If Eberflus doesn't make a big deal out of this, then he doesn't have a hair on you know what, because this is exactly why that rule is in place, to have that kind of an element kicked out of the game.
312-981-7200. Let's go out to Oakwood and say hi to Dave. Dave, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
First of all, gentlemen, I don't know what to say. I've been following since the days of Doug and OB, loyal every Sunday after every game. Andy Mazur, first of all, I want to say thank you for all the coverage and knowledge that you bring to not only football, but baseball.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that. Hamp and OB, I remember OB as a player. I'm 63 years old. Definitely 85 was a great year. And I think we've exhausted all of the should have been's, could have been's, what can we do's offensively. What can we do as a group of Bear diehard fans, and you guys are former players, in regard to Hallis Hall and coaching staffs, not coaching and teaching? I mean, my God. We saw Justin Fields on that sideline sitting by himself, no coach talking to him. Luckily, Allen was talking to Williams tonight. What can we do to help these kids develop? And I'm going to shut up and listen. And, gentlemen, you have a great show. I truly appreciate all that you do for not only Chicago Bears, but Chicago Cubs as well.
Well, thank you,
Dave.
Thank you, David. There's nothing, Dave, that you can do. There's really nothing that Dan and I can do. It's up to the 26 coaches. It truly is. At this particular time, it's up to the 26 coaches that are hired, that were brought in there, a head coach, Eberflus, his coordinators. It's up to those people. They're the ones. It's unfortunate that they don't understand the off season. How to get a team ready for the season. It's quite obvious Eberflus has no idea of how to conduct a team, how to conduct a pre-training camp, a training camp, how to conduct your exhibition season, who's to play, who's not going to play. My God, that's why they have all these off-season camps, and that's why you play the exhibition season. I've said it until the cows come home, okay? You get your team ready to play. You've got to play your players. You've got to play them in exhibition season. And I'll tell you one other thing, Dave. When you got three exhibition games, okay? We had four because of the Hall of Fame. But when that season starts, the 17 game, the first league game, all the exhibition games that you've played, you can times the speed, how hard you get hit, how hard you play, you could quadruple, certainly double, the speed, the pressure, the hard, the hits, everything. And guess what? We were not ready to play. We were not ready last week, and we are not ready today. There's no ingenuity in our offensive, how we're going to attack. We have a young, talented quarterback. And we have pretty much a young team, and our head coach and our offensive coordinator and our coaches have no idea of what the hell they're doing. And if they did, we would have won this game tonight. It shouldn't even been close. We would have won this game. And you drop a kid back, play after play, series after series, and they come firing in on them. What do you expect them to do? Play like Patrick Mahomes? Watch Patrick Mahomes play. Watch the Kansas City Chiefs play. How many times you see him drop back? As many times as you see him roll out to the stronger, weak side. How many times do you see Patrick Mahomes come with play action, with bootlegs? Constantly, every quarter, every half, every game. Watch them. Watch the good teams. And then watch us flounder like fools. This is a game that we should have and could have won with a little offensive ingenuity. And we didn't show it. We weren't prepared to win this football game. Let me say that again. Danny, we were not prepared to win this football game. We had, I don't know how many, they had what, 12 penalties for 115 yards? And that didn't even help us. We were not prepared to win this game.
Instead of being on Red Zone, we ought to be on Svengoolie.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Take a timeout here. 1913, the Texans over the Bears. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I'll guarantee you that Silverado will get OB home tonight. I promise.
Well, that's good. I like to know that.
Back to the Amp and OB show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
1913, final Texans over the Bears. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We've got a couple of minutes left, so we're going to try to get through a couple of calls here real quick. And let's start in Indiana with Josiah. You're up with Happen to be. Go ahead.
Hi, Happen to be. I'm a big fan. Tonight I wanted to talk about pretty much the same old story. That offensive line is terrible. I don't know how many penalties they got, but there is clearly no passion on this team. Eberflus doesn't look like he came to play at all. He's sitting there in his hoodie looking like he just rolled out of bed. And he needs to be working at the snack bar, not coaching the Chicago Bears. So what are your opinions on the offensive line?
Well, first of all, I the only coach on the offensive side that was retained was Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach. And the reason was he did – the best job with what he had last year, and I had high hopes this year. Now, in my mind, you know, Tevin Jenkins, they want to act like he has got a future. I don't see it. You know, we know Nate Davis has been a bust ever since Ryan Poles brought him in here last year.
Making $10
million. $10 million a year. He doesn't practice, doesn't, like, care, you know, what he does. We know that, you know, Shelton, the center, has a history of being a solid player. But last week, it wasn't good. Tonight, a little bit better. I watched him quite a bit. But Darnell Wright, the first-round pick last year, everybody had high hopes for. Well, late in the game, he gave up a tomahawk sack. And the one thing that really drives me crazy, guys, is if you watch the replays, everybody's watching where the ball's going. I'm watching the offensive linemen. It's almost like they're pushing. They're not blocking. Blocking is when you put your head into people and then you deliver a blow with your hands and then you get your hips involved.
And you drive.
And you drive people. And they're pushing. They're pushing like it's some kind of a fraternity, you know, shindig. And they're pushing somebody away from the drink table. I mean, it's sickening. So in my mind, I'm telling you, I'd give Braxton Jones a C-minus because he hasn't been completely exploited. But both guards, a D-minus, and the center, incomplete. We've only seen two games, and he was much better tonight. But the right tackle, Darnell Wright, that everybody was thinking, ooh, he's going to be a piece that we can build around and all that. I haven't seen it.
Hold
I don't
it.
See it.
Here's the bottom line is this, okay? Real quickly here. The bottom line is we can experiment. The experiment should have been over months ago from last year. That all should have been corrected. We should be going full speed with five guys that know what they're doing and can handle who and can handle any kind of a block. And we don't have it because we're not ready. And why weren't we ready? Because this coaching staff did nothing in the offseason. Nothing. And in training camp, nothing. And what the hell you saw today, our line play, what did you see? Nothing.
That pretty much sums it up. I mean, That was pretty very eloquent. All right, let's go out to Mark in Broadview. Mark, you've got about a minute to go here.
Okay, I'll be real quick. Two things, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The second quarter was like third and inches, and we did the quarterback sneak, and you got Herbert. And the other thing was, you said there was no motion on offense. Did you see the play of Jenkins today? He got ran over, ran through like crap through a goose. Thanks, guys.
Well, Hampton, Mark Hampton mentioned that a few minutes ago.
He did. In the grading process.
He was playing a part of a telephone pole.
And guys, these are what they're what you would call your frontline players. And it's unacceptable. It's got to get better. A lot of teams, guys, real quick, a lot of teams played dead the opening week. They came back, found a way to win, and got better. We got to find it this week.
All right, back with you next week. It'll be the game against Indianapolis, and we'll be on the air with you.
0-2 Indianapolis.
0-2 Indianapolis. We'll be on the air with you at 11 a.m. Big thanks again to Sammy and Jack and Eli for all their help here tonight. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.